Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. One of the greatest mistakes that people make in dealing in life is that they don't understand the enemy, and that they miscalculate on what the enemy will do. Now, in the world today, the enemy is Satan the devil, and he has his workers who work for him, who speak as the dragon speaks, who help promote and foster and bring about the great deception that is coming on the end time. Now, it also happened back in the first century, toward the close of the New Testament era. There were men coming around with another Christianity sounding good, sounding wonderful, sounding great, sounding, oh, yes, well, we don't have to do this, and we don't have to do that, and we don't have to do the other thing. Let's just all love one another. Have you ever heard that? See, because just as God's way never changes, Satan's tactics never change. And the ones who come in and subvert never change. Now, sometimes they can sit in a church, like in the Southern Baptist Church. There was a man who was there 27 years before he announced he didn't believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. He didn't believe that Christianity was the only way. He didn't believe that Jesus was the only Savior. And, of course, that shocked everybody. But yet, how shall we say, the toxic fumes from that person's input for years had caused problems within that church. And now the Southern Baptists are having so much trouble that they're even thinking of changing their name. Well, if they don't return to God, it isn't going to do any good to change your name. It's what you are, not what you call yourself. It is what the truth that you preach is, not what you think is the truth. It is to please God the Father and Jesus Christ and not please people. If you please God, then those that God is dealing with will hear. Now, Jesus had a half-brother who was called Jude or Judas, and he became an apostle, and he wrote a very short epistle called the General Epistle of Jude. Now, let's look at the times that he was dealing with, and let's look at the urgency of how he wrote, and let's compare that in type to the times we are living in, and how urgent we need to be. But also, we're going to see what happened to the church. What took place? Why did it come out differently than what it started? Well, here's why. Verse 3, Epistle of Jude. Beloved, when personally exhorting all my diligence to write to you concerning the common salvation, I was compelled to write you, exhorting you to fervently fight for the faith, which was once for all time has been delivered to the saints. The truth. And Jesus said, when the Son of Man come, will he find the faith on the earth? And the answer is still up in the air, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Now, here's why he wrote this. Now, this is a very earnest and concerned and just almost unbelievable what was happening. So he said, I've got to write to you. Now, I want you to be alert. Verse 4, for certain men has stealthily crept in, stealthily, agents of Satan the devil. Now, in Matthew 13, they're called tares. They look and sound like the real thing, but when it comes to the true fruits of the Holy Spirit, they don't have any, because they have an agenda. They want to change the church. And their inspiration comes not from God, but from the direct influence of Satan the devil, to pervert, to change, to move away from faith, to move away from Christ, and above all, to move away from the Christian Passover. Now, we're going to cover that here pretty quickly. And that is the key fulcrum of everything in the true churches of God and the identifying factor of who they are versus those in the world that are the counterfeits. And lo, there are many of those. Now it says here, they are ungodly men, though they stealthily crept in. Can you think about those who deliberately come into a church and have in mind, I have a secret mission. My mission is to subvert this church away from the Bible. And my mission is to bring in false doctrines. And my mission is to cause confusion and doubt and frustration. Sound familiar? Those are Satan's tactics. He uses them in everything, everywhere. How do you think our government has been subverted? How do you think our education has been subverted? How do you think the Christian church has been subverted? How do you think that people have given themselves over to pleasures and to drugs and to sex and to lying and cheating and stealing by incrementally changing, incrementally subverting, incrementally changing doctrines, changing truth, bringing in relativism, bringing in Satanism, bringing in spiritism, a little at a time. And just like the Bible says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. They are ungodly men who are perverting the grace of our God, turning it into licentiousness, and are personally denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's happened. He wrote that. Now let me read you a historical documentation that historians have often wondered, what happened to the church that Jesus Christ founded? Because there's the evidence in here. They never kept Sunday. They never kept Christmas. They never kept Easter. They never kept Lent. They never kept Halloween. And yet the Christian church today does it with overwhelming approval and condemnation of anyone who dares to say that what you're doing is of Satan the devil and paganism and not of God. Now, you know, they're the ones who control the main media. This is the elite. Think about it. And you're going to be enslaved to them. And the only way out is turn to Christ. So Jesse Hurlbut, who is a historian of the early church, he finds that after John died, probably in the year 99 or 100 AD, he tries to look to find the same church after the death of John. Now that's an important benchmark, because remember Jesus said to Peter, when Peter said, what's going to happen to him? Referring to John. He said, well, what is it to you if I desire that he remain until I return? You feed my flock. You shepherd my sheep. Now, John was the longest lived of all of the apostles. And there were many brethren who believed that Jesus is going to return just before John dies. He died. What happened? There were different ones coming around and saying, Jesus isn't coming. We all go to heaven when we die. The apostasy sprouted out in considerable strength at that time. So here's what he wrote. At the end of the first century, the doctrine set forth by the Apostle Paul in the Epistle of Romans were accepted throughout the church as the standards of the faith. The teachings of St. Peter and St. John in their epistles showed a complete accord with the views of Apostle Paul. Heretical opinions were arising and sects were forming, and the germs of which had been noted and warned by the apostles had come to their full development came later. So, he was looking at it. He could understand what was taught. There was no division between the apostles. They all understood the Word of God. So, in looking for it, and then there's another book by Samuel Bakayoko, where he documents from Sabbath to Sunday, and the first thing that they attacked was the Christian Passover. Very first thing. Satan went right to the heart and the core of the covenant relationship between God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the individual believer. So here's what he writes. After he looked and saw the apostasy had gained popularity and power, he says, "We name the last generation of the first century from 68 to 100 AD the Age of Shadows, partly because of the gloom of persecution was over the church, but more especially because of all the periods in the history, it is the one about which we know the least." The leaders are gone. And now what are the people going to do? Are they really converted? Do they really believe? How are they going to recover from the great disappointment that Jesus didn't return before John died? So he laments. "We no longer have the clear light of the book of Acts to guide us, and no author of that age has filled the blank of history. We would like to read of the later works by such helpers of St. Paul as Timothy, Apollos, Titus, but all these and St. Paul's other friends drop out of the record at his death." So then he says, and this is quite amazing, because we can ask the same question today. Where are those who really believe God the Father and Jesus Christ? And where are those teachers and ministers whose lives have been dedicated through conversion, through teaching, through understanding, through love, through service, through humility, that will stick with the truth of God and not be molded by the political and religious pressures that are brought to bear upon them? Where are they? I know many ministers, when the apostasy happened at the end time, they just up and quit because they were hirelings. There were others who believed the false doctrines. And when I resigned from that church, at that time called the Worldwide Church of God, because of sin and because of corruption, and because I could see the coming apostasy within the churches of God that was going to change the Sabbath to Sunday, Passover to Easter, holy days to holidays, I resigned. You can find that resignation sermon on cbcg.org. Because anyone who truly knows the Bible and truly knows the Word of God and truly understands history and how human nature works could see that the infiltration had happened, could see that the apostasy leaders were taking over, could see that it was a concerted effort to happen, and finally, when the leader of the church died, they began their dirty work. and a church that had a top income of $200 million a year. 150,000 attending the Feast of Tabernacles, and had three campuses, three colleges to teach ministers. God punished them by taking it all away. And even the name Worldwide Church of God does not even exist as a name of an organization any longer. The properties were sold. The ministers shifted over into another organization where there is yet coming another apostasy in that organization and other split-offs. And so people today, when they go on the Worldwide Net and they search out the Church of God, there are 1,500 of them. That's why even with them, you've got to examine the truth. Now, there are many dedicated to the truth. But there are also those who are still in the throes of a subversive apostasy, or ruling over brethren as if they're their possessions, or collecting their tithes and offerings by demand to spend on their extravagance and corruption. God is never going to be fooled. Just like here. First century, Apostle John died, and they took the attitude of Peter, I'm going fishing. Question is, are you converted? Do you really believe? Are you ready, really, really, to give your life as they did in the first century? Or are you a glad hander and a good timer? What is it? Let me read what happened here. For 50 years after St. Paul's life, a curtain hangs over the church through which we strive vainly to look. And when it last arises in 120 AD with the writings of the earliest church fathers, we find the church in many aspects very different from that in the days of St. Peter and St. Paul. Now, you can read of that in our book, Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, which? The truth is there. Do you want the truth? Do you want the love of God? Do you want the righteousness of God? What is it that you want in your life? And how much are you willing to exercise your free choice to understand the truth? How much do you really desire God the Father, Jesus Christ, and eternal life? Do you want to live forever? Well, that's the offer that God gives. But it has to be his way. So what took over after that time? The teachings of the Roman Catholic Church are based on human traditions, arbitrary edicts of popes, and misinterpretations of Scripture. Now, what are Catholics taught today? Are Catholics taught, don't believe me, believe your Bible? They're told, don't read your Bible. Some are even warned, if you read your Bible, you might even become insane. Why? The Bible, God says, is his truth. The traditions of men are the lies of men. So when you examine the traditions of men, and then you compare that with the Bible, you truly would be insane to believe the traditions instead of God. God did not design the Bible to be read only in the presence of a priest. And if a priest or minister tells you that, he's a liar. Now it's up to you to discern right from wrong, good from evil. Because a lot of lay members have gone off the deep end too. Now notice what the Catholic Church teaches in their catechism today. And this is from the catechism book called My Catholic Faith. Isn't that interesting? It doesn't say the true Christian belief. So here is what Lewis Morrow writes. Divine revelation comes down to us by two means, through Holy Scripture written down under divine inspiration and through tradition handed down orally from the apostolic times. A lie. We read the Bible with great respect, for it is the Word of God. We treat tradition with as great a reverence, for God speaks through tradition as well. Now, are you sitting down? You need to be, because what he wrote next is absolutely unbelievable. It is wrong to believe the Bible alone without tradition. That is Catholic doctrine. Now, still, some people are going to believe Catholic doctrine in spite of the truth. Are you going to be one of them? Are you going to believe God? You're going to believe a man. He also boasts. He says, it would have been possible for the church to bring the truths of Jesus Christ to all mankind without the Bible. Why then did God preserve the Bible and keep the Bible and make sure that it was available for every generation and in the end time have billions and billions and billions of Bibles? Quote, even today it's possible for many people to learn about Jesus without reading the Scriptures. Another lie. Because these are the words of life from Jesus Christ himself. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And no man comes to the Father except through me. And Jesus said, the false ministers are not practicing the words or the will of the Father in heaven above. And the words that Jesus taught and the words that he spoke were not from himself, but from the Father. So how dare any man, and this is the doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church, and someone is surely going to say, oh, Fred Calder, you're so hard on the Roman Catholic Church. Really? Why was the Roman Catholic Church so intent on killing true Christians who would not acknowledge the Pope and not acknowledge the Trinity and not acknowledge the sacrifice of the Mass, the blasphemous substitute for the true Christian Passover? God is going to have his judgment against all these false religionists. And God is going to judge the Buddhists and the Hindus and the Muslims and the Protestants and the Orthodox and all the independents, because if they do not speak according to the Word of God, it's because there is no light in them. And if there is no light in them, they do not represent God. Now, that's the background for the occult holidays. So God tells us to diligently study and rightly divide the Word of God. Now, let's also understand something. We all have a great responsibility laid upon us, because to whom much is given, much is required. We have the whole Word of God. And it is inspired by God. And it is given to show us the way of truth, the way of life, the way of salvation, how to have a relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ, how to love them, how to love one another, how to hold fast to the truth, how we are to live our lives. Now, I want you to download this booklet. We have it online. A Sabbath Sunday challenge you have never read. The adversary warns you. That is going to be shocking indeed. Now be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org. We have thousands of sermons. We have transcripts. We have studies. We have downloadable information. And listen, today, all of these things are available, and we need to be using them and reading them and studying them and living by every word of God as Jesus Christ has said. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Until next time, this is Fred Colder saying, so long, everyone.